Omar, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thank you for coming. I just wanted to add one thing to your very interesting biography, and that you're currently working for a group called IHS as a political risk consultant, and you head up the Asia desk, where he studies political and violent risk across Asia. So it fits right in with your background as a policeman.
It does. Difference is, this time around, no one's trying to kill me actively, so...
That must be a bit of a relief.
Marked improvement. Marked improvement.
Especially for your wife. Omar first came to my attention when he was at the Karachi Literature Festival just this past February. The social media about the festival lit up with his name, and suddenly I was getting all kinds of emails from people I know in Karachi saying, you've got to look at this writer, and he must come to your festival. So here you are. Were you surprised by all of the attention you got when you launched your book?
Yeah. Obviously, this is something, it was a totally new direction for me. I never thought I had a creative bone in my body before this. So, you know, the whole experience was new, and I didn't quite know what to expect. So it's been quite refreshing to see the sort of response that's been there so far.
Yeah, good. Will you tell us a bit about The Prisoner?
Sure. I keep getting asked this question, especially in Pakistan, whether or not the book is based on real events. It is, but of course it's fiction, so it's loosely based on events that may have happened either to me or to other people whom I know of. And I've heavily drawn on my experiences in the police, and in particular the Karachi police, because I served throughout my 12 years in the Karachi police. I've always felt that the Karachi police is out of, the sort of myriad experiences that you have in Pakistan. The Karachi police is even more interesting, just because of the scale and dimension of the challenges that they face. And the stories that come out from there are tremendous. But up to this point, the problem has always been that the police anywhere really is usually a closed fraternity. So you don't really get a lot of the stories coming out. And certainly with the Karachi police, there was up till now no way of tapping into the stories that we used to talk about amongst ourselves until someone actually, you know, decided to write something about it. And there was no way an outsider could get access into that world, because it is, as I said, a very sort of closed world. So, I just thought it was good to take some of those stories and put them out there.
And do you think that part of the popularity of the book is because you've revealed what goes on behind the scenes in the Karachi police?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's certainly been surprising for me has been a lot of people, and a lot of people who living in Pakistan, living in Karachi, and whom I would call fairly informed about what goes on in the city, have come up to me and said, you know, we didn't know that things work this way. And I thought that was quite interesting, that you can live in a city for many years, you can think that you are, you know, part of its daily life, and yet there can be these totally separate parallel worlds going on within the same city at the same time, and you know, you may not be aware of them.
Would you read something for us?
Sure. I apologize in advance for the selection, because it was sort of made at last minute by the first page that I opened, but here goes. August 1998. The stench was overpowering. Constantine could smell it over the carbon dioxide fumes of the rickshaw. What was worse, the monsoon rain had reduced the garbage into a kind of slushy mixture that flowed ankle-deep onto the road. The rain had been beating down hard for the past 3 hours. Constantine cursed as the rickshaw driver pulled up just short of the police station compound. It meant he would have to wade through the slush just to get out to the gate of the station. But the driver had flatly refused to go right up to the gate because he feared that he might be taken for a police sympathizer. Constantine shook his head in disgust. Orangi was a long way from the bright lights of Preedi. The sentry at the gate was a frightened rookie, barely out of his teens. He wore a uniform 3 sizes too large and viewed Constantine with great suspicion. unbelieving that a police officer would actually want to come to this place. Finally, having satisfied himself that Constantine was indeed a sub-inspector, he took him inside. On one side of the station wall, there was a gaping hole with blast marks on the edges. A pair of shirtless laborers continued to repair the wall despite the rain. The sentry took Constantine into a room which had a signboard outside, proclaiming it to be the station in charge's office. To call it an office would be stretching imagination considerably, as it was little more than a shack walled with unplastered bricks. There were several buckets in the room to collect water from the innumerable leaks in the ceiling, and a dangerously exposed electric wire was connected to the solitary light bulb. At the desk sat Akbar Khan, looking out of place in this hovel with his smart new uniform and freshly waxed moustache. "Well, you took your bloody time getting here, didn't you?" The young sentry was surprised that it was the new sub-inspector who mouthed those words rather than in charge sahab. "Constantine, thank God you're here. It's so good to see you. Come, sit. Bache, go tell the munshi to send for some tea and some samosas if you can get any in this godforsaken locality. So, Constantine, remember what I told you last time we met? These UF bastards were on their way out. I told you the agencies would come through. Yeah, you told me that over a year ago, when we last spoke. I thought it was going to happen in a matter of days. I picked a fight with my SHO and as a result got posted to Urangi Extension, the worst thana in the city. I've been stuck in that shithole for the past year and a half, hoping for deliverance from your agencies. Arey Baba, they don't work on exact schedules. Sometimes events come in the way of their planning. When I spoke to you that day in Preedi, they had already begun working on getting rid of the UF. But then these things can take time, yaar. The agencies have to also look at the big picture in the country. You and your damn agencies, Akbar, they're also Badshah log. First they created this monster of a party, and then when that party started getting too big for its boots, they tired of it and decided it was being run by a bunch of anti-state criminals. They should never have given these UF bastards so much leeway. Now it's impossible to control them. No one is willing to move against the ward bosses. So what have they sent you here for after so long? This operation has been on for the past 3 months, but no sign of you. They got my suspension reversed as soon as the UF left the coalition, but they had me posted to the interior because there was still a possibility of the government cutting a deal. I told Major Tarkeen it was foolish to think the party would change its ways, but there were those in the government who still wanted the United Front's political support at any price. Well, it's a price we've been paying in blood in the streets. I had heard it had gotten worse, but I didn't realize how bad. When I came to take charge yesterday, no one was wearing uniform in the station. Then last night, they fired a rocket at the station wall. Yes, the rocket is the local ward's way of greeting the new SHO. They did the same thing to the fellow you replaced. He didn't step out of the compound after that for 3 months. No one wears the uniform because no one wants to be identified as a police officer outside. The rickshaw driver who dropped me here wasn't willing to pull up in front of the station gate. In some cases, some officers still go out in the area, like my SHO for instance. But that's because he has an understanding with the ward boss. It's the same all over. Either our people have been frightened off or they've become collaborators. If I were you, I'd be very careful about my own staff. Half of them are linked to the party. Yes, I got that impression from their reluctance to disclose any information on the whereabouts of the local ward office. They're more scared of those benchods than they are of me. But that will soon change. You can't blame them, Akbar. The few who did try and conduct some raids were killed the next day by UF death squads. Everyone else chickened out after that, myself included. Akbar stared out of the tiny slit between concrete blocks that served as a window. You see those laborers working in the rain? Last night they weren't willing to come and fix the wall. I even offered to double their wages. They still said no. Like your rickshaw driver, they were wary of being identified with the police. Then I held a pistol to the foreman's head and told him to get to work. So now you see they're still working despite the downpour. You have to show everybody that you are the bigger badmash. So what do you want me to do? You're going to be my eyes and ears. You're the only one I can trust here. That's why I arrange your posting as my number two. You're going to run things on my behalf. Whatever you say goes. If there's anyone else you want to bring with you from Urangi Extension, tell me and I'll get their orders. Anyone who you feel is mixed up with the Wardias, we'll have them transferred out. By the way, who's the SP? You mean you haven't met Hanuman yet? No. Our orders came straight from Corps headquarters. They didn't want the information to leak out before we had taken charge. So Major Tarkeen ordered me to go straight to the police station. I haven't been to the SP office yet. Hanuman, is he a Hindu? Constantine chuckled. No, that's his nickname. You know the story about the Hindu god Hanuman having two faces? That's our SP Saab. One minute he says one thing, the next minute he'll do the exact opposite. Somehow he manages to get along with whoever is in power. Before the operation started, everyone used to say he was the khaso khas of the UF. Now the new government has come in and he is the only SP in Karachi who hasn't been replaced. Competent fellow though, knows every nook and cranny of the area, knows exactly what's going on where, always keeps us on our toes. And he's not averse to calling up the thana in the middle of the night and speaking to the duty sentry to find out exactly what's going on. Is he into money? A little bit here and there, nothing like Maqsood Mahar. Sounds like an interesting fellow, I'll have to meet him. But first, tell me about the area. In one word, it's a tinderbox waiting to explode. The Pathans live on Pirabad Hill, the Bengalis and Biharis live at the base of the hill. The communities have been at each other's throats for years. On top of that, the UF Gundas moved in, and now they run the place like a feudal fiefdom. So where do I find these feudal lords? Their ward office is in an abandoned school halfway up the hill. They call it the Haji Camp.
Thank you. The main character, one of the main characters that you just read about, Akbar, is modeled after somebody that you have worked with.
Yeah. Akbar Khan, the main protagonist in the book, was modeled on a very dear colleague of mine, Chaudhry Aslam, who was someone that I worked with for a number of years. In fact, Aslam was killed in January this year. He took over the unit that I had headed in Karachi, you know, the sort of CID counterterrorism unit. And a lot of the stories of Akbar in the book are based on things that happened to Aslam in real life.
And Akbar ends up being a prisoner in the prison. He's sort of set up, but they need him, so they come back, and he plays a very strong role in the book.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the sort of basic premise of the book is that an American is kidnapped in Karachi, and no one can really get a lead on how to get him back. So, in desperation, the powers that be, and that includes the political parties and the police hierarchy as well as the intelligence agencies, take a last gasp shot at going to Akbar, who is in prison, and it's about how he negotiates with them in trying to leverage the information he has with trying to obviously get out of prison.
The novel was inspired or included some real life events, and you mentioned the American that's kidnapped. What were the events that really inspired you and you wove through the novel?
There are a lot of small events that have happened over the years. Really, if you look at it, it's a history of the violent side of Karachi over the past 20 years or so. The kidnapping of the American obviously came from although that's the hook rather to the plot, but. Obviously came from what happened with Daniel Pearl back in 2001. There's an incident in the book in which a politician is killed accidentally in a police shootout, which again was based on the killing of Murtaza Bhutto in 1996. What I was trying to do is to show how such incidents impacted the police officers who were involved in them or who inadvertently got involved in them.
The book is really, it includes really an unabashed portrayal of police and official corruption, political corruption. Have there been any repercussions from the book in Karachi?
Well, no official repercussions, but
after all, you're here.
As I keep saying that I keep getting asked this question about what do my police colleagues think about this book, and I keep joking and saying, well, most of them don't really read, so it's okay. it's not really their interest level. But those who have read it have enjoyed it, and I think they've enjoyed the. What I feel is a realistic portrayal. So the aim was not to paint a rosier picture than it was, and it was also not to paint a darker picture than it was. And I think that's what has worked with whoever's read it so far.
I've read it, and when you say it's a realistic picture, I think, oh my God, because it's really quite frightening. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of sort of gratuitous murder, but it's really, or I shouldn't say gratuitous murder, but political murder, and it really, I guess, does portray Karachi in a certain light, and I guess that is certainly part of Karachi's character, the underside of Karachi.
Yeah, absolutely. I think anyone of us who has lived in Karachi over the past 20, 25 years has seen bits and pieces of this. So the bloodshed or the violence that the city has sort of gone through, and its different manifestations, whether that was ethnic political parties, whether it was jihadist militants, whether it was police extrajudicial killings, all these things are very much part of the character of the city, I guess, now.
One final question. Can you go back and work in the police force? Do you intend to go back?
I intend to go back. I think so. I mean, I don't see it as a problem. Besides, it's a great place to keep getting more stories from. So it's a repository.
Do you intend to keep writing?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
Will we see Constantine and Akbar again?
Possibly, yeah. It would be interesting to sort of serialize the character. I think it might be a trick.